Peter chapter 1, 3 through 5. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 5. A letter of hope. We continue our series in 1 Peter, a letter of hope, a message of encouragement, secure in Christ. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 5. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord. We can be here today. We know that the floods have come in many cities and there's no church there. We thank you that we can have church here. Thank you for each that came today. We pray for those who had medical situations this past week, and we pray, Lord, that there'll be full and complete recoveries. We pray now for those who've lost loved ones, and we pray for travel safety and encouragement today for each one going through trials. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. 1 Peter chapter 1, 3 through 7, God's apostle wrote these words. He addressed the matter of where we're going to spend eternity and how we're going to enjoy it. He said, blessed, honored, or highly valued. He said, we need to speak well of this God who saved our souls. Highly valued is the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant, overflowing mercy has brought us to life. He's begotten us to life again to a living or blessed hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. If you're looking forward to the blessed hope of the soon return of Christ and the rapture of His true church, say amen. Amen. Say amen again. Amen. Hey, say it this time so God can hear it. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Verse 4. And we're getting raised to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. We are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last days. For in this you greatly rejoice, though now just for a little while. If need be, you've been grieved by various trials, so that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honor and glory at the revelation or second coming of Jesus Christ. Jesus is coming again. Amen. Will you be ready?
Yes.
Amen. If you know Christ as Savior, you will be ready. Now, there are several terms we need to investigate in this passage of Scripture. We're going to unwrap the passage, expose the text, unfold the passage of Scripture. Let's take a look at some of these terms because I think that's important. Now, some might be saying, oh, Pastor, why do we have to look at the words in the Bible? Hey, you have quiet time or personal devotions at home? Or do you just open the Bible and flip to a passage and say, that's my passage for today, and it may not have anything to do with you that day, but that's just where your finger fell? Hey, when you read the Bible at home, you're supposed to take the words and look them up and cross-reference them. Look them up in the Scripture. Look them up in a dictionary. You know, I've got the Greek and the Hebrew and Ezra, you got the Aramaic, and I can do that. And you can do that too online if you wanted, but look it up. Look up the terms because these are the words that God wants to use to change your life and to encourage you to live for Him. Here's a word, mercy and compassion. 1 Peter chapter 1, blessed be the God, I'm supposed to speak highly of Him. He has abundant, overflowing what? Read the text. It's mercy. Mercy, that's the word for alms, used elsewhere in Scripture, 61 times, New Testament. Matthew 5, verse 5. Here's how it's used. Blessed are the what? The merciful, the compassionate, for they shall obtain mercy. You know, we're not rich. We're not rich by any means when compared to Bill Gates or Donald Trump or some of these other people. We're just not rich, you know, wealth-wise and material possessions, but we can be rich in God. And if we're lacking in something, God can give us His heavenly alms, can He? That's His mercy. And He'll take care of us, Philippians 4:19. Blessed are the merciful, they shall obtain mercy. Hey, help others, and God's going to help you. Who have you helped lately? Who have you helped lately? You know, the word deacon or diakonos is a word for helper or assistant. You know, all of us in Romans 16 can be what? Not an office of deacon, but we can be ordinary deacons and help each other, right? We're to help or assist each other. Romans 9, verse 23. God puts His mercy on His vessels of grace. Romans 9, verse 23. How many deserve anything from God? We're sinners. We were participated in the fall through Adam, right? Genesis 2:7. And Adam were the spirits of men and passed it down. And Jesus is sinless, but we have sin. We deserve nothing. But God gives us everything because we believe the truth of the gospel. He put his mercy on vessels of grace. Thank you, Lord, for your mercy on our behalf. Ephesians 2:2, here's where the word is used. Scripture describes God as rich in what? Rich in mercy. God helps us more than anyone else ever has helped us. He helps us more than we could ever imagine, and he's waiting to help us. Does that encourage your soul? Just lay yourself before his throne and ask God to help you. Well, that's the New Testament. How about the Old Testament? See, this word mercy is translated in various ways in the Old Testament, and it appears with one Hebrew word. It's chesed, C-H-E-S-E-D, and you can write it down. We have it on the screen. My favorite Old Testament word. I love this word. It's translated loving kindness. New Testament mercy, Old Testament loving kindness. You see the word mercy, this word ought to pop up in your mind. How many have a job and work? Anybody? You got a job, you work. You figure it out. You probably go to work. I'm not saying you actually do work, but I'm saying you go to work probably 227 days out of the year. All right. You figure it out, maybe 5 days a week, then you get vacation, you get time off for holidays and, you know, National Popcorn Day. I can't go into work today. You know, it's National Popcorn Day. Well, 227 days of work. Guess how many times this word chesed is found in the Bible? 227 times. Hey, you got a tough time at work and that boss just gives you the business. You know, you show up on Monday and you can't stand it, can't wait till Saturday or Friday, and God is there for you. The word means covenant loyalty, or as we say today, the fact that God keeps his word. That's mercy. You know, God's given you salvation. He says, I'm going to take you to heaven, I'm going to take care of you from here to heaven, and God's going to keep that word. That's what loving kindness, that's what mercy is, and that's what Peter knew mercy to be. In 1 Peter 1 and verse 3. Hey, Old Testament times, every day is a work day, isn't it? Genesis 29:21, Joseph's confined by the circumstances of life, and God wants to confirm a truth. And so God says, first thing out of God's mouth, Joseph, I'm going to show you what? Loving kindness. Yeah, you're going to be in the slammer. You're going to be in this prison house for all of these years, and you're not going to understand it. It's like the waiting room of God, but the very first truth God shared with Joseph is, I'm going to keep my word, what I promised I'll perform. Hey, some of you feel trapped in your jobs, you feel trapped in life, in the family situation. Some of you feel trapped in your bodies, and you can't wait to get out. And God's going to take care of you. He promises. He will show you loving kindness. Numbers 14:18-19. You don't think of loving kindness in this context, but you know, the spies went out, 12 spies went out in the Exodus journey. Hey, this is great. We're about to cross the river and we're about to claim our inheritance. And inheritance is big in this passage in Peter also. And 10 spies were task-based and 2 spies were trust-based. And the 10 spies came back and all they saw were the giants. Oh, we're like grasshoppers. And the 2 spies came back and all they saw was God. Yeah. These giants are too big for us. And 2 spies says, yeah, the giants are big, but God's bigger. Amen. See, God's bigger than our situation. Yes. And Moses wrote, the Lord is long-suffering. He's just putting up with you in that kind of an attitude. But he's of great loving kindness. Hey, God promised to bring you in the land. And he's going to get you there. And he forgives iniquity and transgression. And I'm amazed God doesn't zap more people, aren't you? Yeah. Because of our attitudes toward him and our lack of faith, and we doubt him and we fail to trust. And Moses prayed, verse 19, Numbers 14, pardon, I plead with you, pardon, show mercy on the iniquity of this people according to, based on the greatness of your loving kindness. You know, God has loving kindness and then he has great loving kindness, and he's got it all for you and for me. He's going to keep his word. He's going to help us. He's going to give us what we don't deserve. Jeremiah 31:3, here's another one. God's weeping prophet, he's caring for the people, and the people put him in stocks and bonds, and just mistreated him, disrespected him, and God's performing open heart surgery on his soul and on the operating table. In Jeremiah 31:3, Jeremiah said in prayer, "The Lord has appeared to me, saying, I've loved you with an everlasting love. Therefore, with loving kindness, chesed love, I've drawn you to myself." Hey, Jeremiah, you're going through a difficult experience, but I want to draw you to my, I'm going to use that experience to draw you closer to me, close to Jesus. You know, we have a God that's never going to let us go. He just draws us to himself. Allow your experience, the circumstance, the situation of life, allow God to draw you closer to him. Don't let the circumstance take you off the cross. Have God in that circumstance draw you closer to the cross. Here's what David wrote in Psalm 26:3. He said, "Keep God's loving kindness before your eyes and walk in God's truth." Don't let the people or the circumstances, the situations, don't let that be your focus. Focus on the God who loves your soul. Because Lamentations 3:22 and 23, "It is through the Lord's mercies or loving kindness that we're not consumed. His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Amen. You know, Peter's going through some rough times, and he doesn't know it, but persecution's about to enwrap the church, and society's turned against God, and Nero's about to burn just about everyone and hang them on a cross, and these people need to be prepared for that. And Peter doesn't understand that yet, but he's going to, and he wrote, God has some overflowing promises that he's going to keep in your life. Hey, take passages like this home and just look up the words. And just cross-reference them. And you're going to get so much more out of the Scripture when you do that. Praise God for God. Well, in verse 4, because of his loving kindness, what do we have? Well, here's the result. He said we have an inheritance, you know, stored up, reserved in heaven. And I know there are people who don't want to come to church because of, you know, what they can give to God, but what they can get out of God. Well, here's one of those passages where if you're here just to see what you can get from God, be encouraged, you're going to get it all. You're just going to get it all. Everything God has, you're going to get. Does that excite you? Does that make you feel good? Get a little warm fuzzy on that one? You get God's inheritance. You get God's heaven. You know, you say, I don't feel like I'm getting anything today. You know, God's up there and I'm down here and it's just kind of a big chasm. You know, it rained and how many have a bunch of birds in your front yard? Do you? I mean, they're flying all over the place at my house. And yeah, the creek rose, right? And I'm 40 feet above the creek, praise God. And it's flooding down below, but it's not flooding where I'm at. And yeah, it might be flooding down below a little bit, but God can bring us above that, right? Isaiah 40:31. And all the worms are out in the front lawn. And they're crawling around, you know, because they don't want to drown. And they come up for air so they can live. And what happens? Whoom! Birds come down and they get fed, don't they? Hey, God can use bad circumstances for your good and his glory, can't he? Amen. And he's going to do that. He's going to give us an inheritance. Hey, the end of a caterpillar is the beginning of a butterfly. Be a butterfly for God. All right, what do we know about our inheritance in heaven? And this is just fantastic truth from Scripture. Verse 4, it's supernaturally provided. Supernaturally provided. You know, it's not going to get stuck in some kind of a claims court. You know how that is with people? You know, someone passes away and you got family and you got step family and you got people who were friends who think they were family and you got people who go in on a person's deathbed and they have a piece of paper there with a lawyer and they say, "Here, change your inheritance and give me your money," right? And then it gets stuck in claims court and then the government wants its cut, and God's not like that. See, he promises 100%. Guess what he's going to give you? 100%. It's not based on what people have for a standard for inheritance. It's supernaturally provided. And that means it's over and above everything you can ask or think. And he's not bound by people's laws. He's only bound by his love. That's our inheritance. Praise the Lord. Well, what do we know about this inheritance? Take a look at the passage here in 1 Peter 1:4. It's incorruptible. In other words, it's imperishable. and perishable. It's a military term. It speaks of something that no army can destroy. You think about ISIS in the Middle East, and they just sweep in, they take your furniture, and they take your house, and an army comes in a war, and you know, down south you have Confederates took over a house for headquarters, and then they got thrown out, and then the Union came in, they took over the same house for headquarters, and took all the pigs and the chickens, and took all the furniture, and then they burned the house down, and armies can come and take things away, but guess what? God's not going to take anything away. He gives it to you, He promises, and He comes through. You ever have someone promise to give you something and they didn't do it? That's not God. It's not the way God works. No army, even Satan's army, no army can take away your inheritance. You see, in 1 Corinthians 9:25, we have a crown that no one can take away. Undefiled, that's your inheritance. James 1:17. Pure religion and undefiled before the Father is this, and you know, take care of the widows and the homeless. And it's a food preparer's term. It's used of fruit that will never decay. Has anyone ever given you something that was broken? Hey, I'm going to give you this, and it's broken. And hey, thanks a lot, right? And then they come back like 3 years later and say, do you still have that? And you think, I don't have enough duct tape, you know, to fix up what you gave me. And so I just, you know, I re-gifted it and gave it to someone else, right? Is that what you do? Yeah. Shoo. I tell you. Heaven's not broken. And whatever God gives you is the real deal, and it's good stuff. It's the best stuff. See, when God gives, He gives His best, and that's why He gave Christ at Calvary. He's never going to give you rotten fruit. You ever been to the grocery store and they put the good fruit in the top, the bad fruit in the bottom, and the bad fruit's already crushed? You ever buy a bag of grapes? Anybody? Buy a bag of grapes? Yeah, it's like $1.98 a pound right now. Okay? Wait till it goes down to 98 or $1.28, right? And, you know, which grapes do you buy? Do you buy the ones with the, they sell in bags now, all right? And they did that so people wouldn't pick the grapes. But half the bags are open, and like a third of the grapes are already picked, correct? And, but they got chemicals on, you got to wash those grapes somehow. And at least ask the associate there, where can I wash these grapes that I'm going to, you know, steal from your bag today, right? But so you go down, you get the ones on the bottom, and then the store plays their trick on you, and those are the ones from like last month, and they're already turned, correct? Yeah, God's not going to give you anything that you get to heaven. Surprise! I told you it was going to be streets of gold and pearls and diamonds and rubies, and now I'm going to give you fool's gold. No, He's going to give you the real deal, undefiled in heaven. Now, how long is this going to last? Well, it doesn't fade away. Look at the passage. It's an inheritance that does not fade away. Verse 4, and they didn't have manufactured plastic flowers in those days, but they had flowers, and some flowers actually lasted, and when they blossomed, they stayed that way for a while, and then they came back. How many, like, annuals? Annuals, they're the ones that just last, what, this year? Yeah, and so they blossom for 3 days, and the deer come and eat them, and that's it, right? So how many like perennials? Aren't those the ones that come back every year? Perennials? Do you like how many like perennials better than annuals? Perennials, raise your hand. Annuals, raise your hand. How many like eternals? Okay, they last forever, and you don't have to worry about them when they're coming back this year, right? That's what God's saying. He's saying, look out to your garden, and you love the flowers, and they only last a while, and then they might come back next year. God has some flowers for you, an inheritance. What He's giving you, it's not going to blossom, go away. It's going to stay with blossom, and it's not going to be this year or next year. It's going to be every year, forever, 24/7. That's heaven. And you're going to be scratching your head and saying, wow, when's this reservation going to be over? Never. they advertise these 5-star resorts down the Caribbean. It's better than that. And it's forever. And then it's reserved in heaven for you. Hey, by the way, 1 Peter 5:4, we get a crown that never fades away. Same word. Reserved in heaven, it's reserved. It's not to be used or borrowed by others. And you say, well, it's kind of a group thing in heaven. Yeah, it's a group thing, but it's also an individual thing. All right? So what God's going to give to you, unlike earth or society, no one can come in and take what's yours away from you. All of us have all of heaven, but each of us have individually our rewards, our gifts from God that He's going to give to us as part of an inheritance, and that's yours. Now, we're going to cast our crowns at the feet of Jesus, but there's still going to be a memory of the faithfulness on earth. Don't let anyone ever take that away. Not here on earth, because no one will be able to take it away in heaven. You keep that here on earth and keep faithful, you're going to have it forever, whatever you take with you to heaven. All right, it's an inheritance, number two, of God's Son. Romans 8, 15 to 17, it's an inheritance of God's Son. Hey, I got something written up here on the big screen, and I think we need to say it out loud together. You might be struggling today and say, wow, I wish I had more now, but the best is yet to come. Say it out loud. The best is yet to come. Say it louder. The best is yet to come. Wow, that's good stuff there. That's heaven, isn't it? Be encouraged. Be encouraged. Nothing's going to be as bad as it is now. It's only going to be good. Romans 8, 15 to 17. We have not received the spirit of bondage to systems of religion or legalism or the world. We might fear that somehow we might miss the boat to heaven, but we have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father, Daddy, Father, Father, I love you. And then he says in verse 17, since children, then heirs. Since children, then heirs. We're joint heirs with Jesus. He doesn't say since creatures or since religious, since children. We're sons. We're daughters of the King. And then he adds in 1 John 4:17, as Christ is in heaven, so are we in this world. You might think you're the poorest person on the planet, and that might be your situation with possessions or physically or with, a bank account that just needs month-to-month resuscitation. But in Christ Jesus, you have it all spiritually. See, that passage in 1 John 4:17, as He is in heaven, that's how we are on earth. It's as if we're already there. I mean, you look around, you say, oh, I can't take it anymore. I can't handle this. I want out. I want to go to heaven now. Look, picture yourself in that climate, in that environment of attitude and perspective. Just let the clouds roll away and picture yourself right now walking the streets of gold. Can you do that? Boy, that ought to relieve some tension, don't you think? Picture yourself right now in heaven. That's what this passage says. As He is now, that's how you are now too. He says, I got you in heaven right now. It's like I'm just waiting for you to walk through the door. You're there. You're a citizen of heaven. Praise the Lord. As Christ is in heaven, that's how we are now. Well, let's go to Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. This inheritance, it's already ours. Already ours. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14. It's already ours. It's an inheritance that's already ours. Let's say it again. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. And I think we have to go back a slide, but let's say this together too. You ever go to a place with a name tag? Hello, my name is? I always put mine upside down so I can figure out who I am, right? Yeah. Usually other people know, hey, who am I, right? Hey, let's say it together. Your inheritance is in heaven. It's like you're already there. You're a citizen of the King. What's your name? I'm a child of the one true King. Do you need to read that to yourself? No. Well, let's read it again. I'm a child of the one true King. That's your name. You realize that? Yeah. Hey, next time you forget that, get yourself a name tag and put that on it. Put it upside down like I do. All right? And then look at it. Hey, oh yeah, I'm a child of the one true King. That's neat. That's good stuff. All right, he says in Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 about having that inheritance already. You who believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. And he is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of the glory. He sealed us. We got reservations. Hey, how many have the Holy Spirit living in you? Anyone? This is a Bible study on Wednesdays and Sunday nights. We are indwelt by the Holy Spirit.
Hallelujah.
And you can't get rid of him if you try. He's in there. He's not going away. He's not just renting. He's a permanent residence. And he's the one who guarantees your inheritance, that nobody, nothing, can take that away. How many have ever traveled anywhere? You ever travel? Yeah, travel. Now, you know, we stop at the rest area, you know, going into the state where we're going, and we pick up those coupon books, those motel. Everyone pick up those books? You know, yeah, there you go. See, that's very practical, isn't it? Yeah, you pick them up, and there's this hotel of like $180 a night. You get it for $39.95, right? And you get the hot meal, and we look for that buffet hot breakfast and the swimming pool and all that stuff. And it's like, we go in there, and there's three people behind me, and I whip out this little book that they have at the rest stops, and I pull out my little coupon, and, you know, I've already called ahead and said, look, you know, is this good? You have rooms? And yeah, okay. And you have to be on campus, though, right? So I give it to him, and it's $39.95. And, you know, it's the works. And this guy behind me, he's looking at me and looking at them and saying, how does he get it for $39.95? And I got to pay $180, you know? And I said, well, you know, just get one of these books. That's all you got to do, you know? And it's nothing special. How many make reservations? How many call ahead and make reservations? You ever made a reservation in a hotel? All right. Yeah? How'd you do that? You get online and Travelocity or something, and they got this picture. Here's a picture of a hotel. Anyone ever, you recognize that hotel? Anyone stay in that hotel? Anybody? No, we don't stay in those, do we? We don't, yeah. Just something about, no. We if you do, you can, all right? Joey and I have been to some conferences lately. They're free. Free is good. It's one of my favorite sayings. Free is good. And they stuck us in 5-star hotels. I mean, your cooperative dollars at work, I'm telling you. And it's like, wow. And one week we're at this conference for church planting. It's because we have a church that's being planted. So we went and got the, you know, the goods on that. And they stuck us in this 5-star hotel. And that was a Religious Liberties conference, I think. And we were in this 5-star hotel, and that was on a Thursday. And on a Monday, we were stuck in the northern Georgia mountains near Dalton. And we were out in the middle of nowhere, and there was a lightning storm, and so we hid in a cave. And the thing was forever, and so I just laid down on a rock. I laid on a rock in the cave, and I took a nap until the storm passed away. I said, you know, if I'm going to get hit by lightning, let them zap me, you know, when I'm sleeping, right? So Thursday, we're in this 5-star hotel. Everyone was a little prissy and fancy. And I looked at Joe and I said, you know, I like the rock bed better than this bed, you know? And I rest on the rock who's Jesus, don't you? Yeah, I rest on the rock. Hey, you that look up reservations and they got a picture, how do you know the hotel's there? Huh? Maybe they fooled you just with a picture, like bait and switch. And then you call the number. How do you know that the person on the other end is real, that they really work for the hotel? And you give them your credit card number too, all right? And then how do you know that the reservation is going to be kept? Because you might show up and they might double book you, right? And then you do show up, and the hotel's real, and the reservation is real, and the person behind the desk is real. If you can trust Travelocity, why can't you trust Christ? Heaven is real. And you got a reservation in heaven. So don't store up treasures here on earth. Store them up in heaven. Send it ahead. Because God is real. Your inheritance is real. And you're going to experience reality one day soon, when you get to go to heaven. Be encouraged. Praise the Lord. Well, Peter continues with the doctrine of eternal security, and we've talked about this much on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights. And 1 Peter 1 in verse 5, he says, we're kept by the power of God. In other words, we're shielded and protected by Him. And on Wednesday nights and Sunday nights, we've discovered that God has a plan for your life, and Christ prayed for your life, and God confirms you're forever saved, and His power is going to keep you that way. And there's all kinds of verses we've discussed about eternal security. Hey, once saved, always saved. Anyone ever put anything in a safe? Why do you keep something in a safe? Because you don't want someone to take it? Yeah, God's safe is the Holy Spirit. You're safe because you're saved. Anyone ever see anyone with a tattoo? Isaiah 49, 15, 16. Isaiah 49, 15, 16. Anyone ever see anyone with a tattoo? Anyone have a tattoo? Don't raise your hand. Okay. All right. All right. Some of you did. And, you know, there's a variety of thoughts on tattoos. God has a tattoo. Do you realize that? God has a tattoo. Isaiah 49, 15, and 16. He says what? I've inscribed you. I've engraved you. Literally, I've tattooed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls, Jerusalem, your walls that are ruined, they're continually before me. My heart just aches for you because I want to restore those ruined walls. And today He wants to restore ruined lives. So the same heart that ached for Jerusalem aches for you. And He's saying, Israel, you've betrayed me. You've disobeyed me. But I'm keeping my word. And based on my loving kindness, what I've done is I've inscribed your name in the palm of my hand. And to take you out of the palm of my hand has to change me. You know, you ever have some medical procedure in a hospital and your anesthesiologist comes or, you know, the nurse comes and you got this little garment on and they take it off and they look at you and probe you and poke you. And I was in for some procedure years ago and the nurse looked at me and then turned me over. And I'm thinking, you know, I'm going to get this operation thing. And you're turning me over. And I said, what are you doing? And she said, I'm looking for tattoos. And I said, why? She said, because absolutely everyone else that comes in here has a tattoo. And I just love to look at the artwork. That's what she said. And I'm thinking, okay, well, you trained for this. So, and then she said, I'm a little older. You know, maybe that's not part of my generation. And she said, oh, yes, it is. She said, you'd be surprised, all these grandparents that come in here, they got tattoos when they're 15, and they still have them when they're 65. And they're all wrinkled up and everything like that, you know. And she says, it's so fun looking at them. And I'm thinking, you know, why don't we just change conversation here? Yeah. How many years ago were you saved? How many got saved this year? We got saved in 2014. I know one in membership class got saved in 2014. Amen. How many got saved 10 years ago? 20 years ago? 40 years ago? 50 years ago? Guess what? The day you got saved, what did God do with His hand? He tattooed your name in His hand. He's God. Is His hand ever going to wrinkle up? Is there ever going to be a time where God can't read your name? Now, if you sin so much that even God must think you lost your salvation, right? Yeah. Not that God would ever think that, but if He ever did, which He can't, all He has to do is what? Look at His hand. You're there forever, for eternity. And God's never going to remove that from the palm of His hand. Even when we're dead and gone in eternity, forever in heaven, God has that reminder. And guess what other reminder Christ has? Because the only work of man that will ever last forever are the prints of the nails in the hands of Jesus. Once saved, always saved, we're eternally secure. Even when we fall, God stands, and He's going to take you to heaven. Hey, there's a man, F.B. Meyer, wrote about two hikers climbing the Matterhorn, and that's a big mountain in Switzerland. And they hired guides. And G stands for guide, T stands for traveler. And in the mind of the guide, it's T for tourist. But you got G for guide, and T for tourist, G for guide, T for tourist, G for guide. Everyone see that? You see how they roped each other together? They roped each other together. Why do you think that is? Why do you think that is? Because it's slippery up there, right? And someone might fall. And if you're roped together, you got a fighting chance of living, right? Why? Not because of you who fell, but because of the person who didn't fall. Well, in this case, the guide at the bottom fell. And it was so steep that the traveler fell also. And the guide in the middle fell. And the traveler toward the front fell. But as the guide in the front saw what was happening, he put a spike deep into the ice, wrapped himself to it, and because he stood and did not fall, the others did not perish. F.B. Meyer has told this story, a great preacher. He said these words. He said, "I'm like one of those men who slipped, but thank God I'm bound in a living partnership to Christ. And because he stands, I will never perish. We fall, he stands. We fall, he stands, because he's faithful. He's got loving kindness. He's going to keep his word." Anyone ever fall into sin? I mean, even for like 10 seconds? You know, I know some of you are really spiritual out there. And, you know, 10 seconds is a long time for you, right? But then I hear testimonies of people who fell away for 3 or 4, 6 years, 15 years, almost half a lifetime. Hey, be encouraged. You've got an inheritance in heaven. If you took Jesus in a genuine, authentic way into your life as personal Savior, you can fall. But Christ will never fall. He stands. He stands to deliver you, to rescue you, to keep you from falling, but to take you to heaven. And in heaven, even though we're sinners, we have an inheritance of saints. Praise the Lord. Be encouraged today. Hallelujah. We have Christ. On this Communion Sunday, let's pray. Our Father in heaven, we come before you now thankful that we have Jesus. And even though we're sinners and all of us fall, and Lord, we just mess up so much continually, and we kick ourselves and say, why did I do that? Why did I go there? Why did I think that? And we start to wonder if we're going to be lost, not saved, but God promised to never leave us or forsake us, and he also promised to do one better, to give us heaven, home, and him, an inheritance. We fall, he stands. Praise the Lord. He's our judge, he's our jury, he's our Savior. And even though he could judge us for sin, he decides to forgive us and love us and show us grace and loving kindness and keep his word. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm wondering today, is there someone here who's never asked Jesus in your life? You'd like to do it right now? Are there any? Slip up your hand. If you did it once in a genuine way, you don't have to do it again. Repent and receive. Are there any? There may be others today who are just kind of kicking yourself around the world and saying, I'm so guilty and I just can't handle this. And yeah, you do need help. And that's why God gave the Holy Spirit. He's there to help all of us. You say, I can't handle the circumstance of my life. It's just too tough for me. And God knows that. To encourage you, he says, I'm going to give you everything. All you got to do is make it to heaven. But in the meantime, I gave you the Holy Spirit to help you get there in one piece. And that peace is P-E-A-C-E. It's found in Christ. Need prayer concerning your circumstance and your focus in life today? All I have is Christ. That's all I have. And that's all we need, isn't it? Need prayer today? Slip up your hand. I gave you some prayer cards. Praise the Lord. We'll pray for you. I want you to turn those and we'll pray for you too. Praise the Lord. Hey, I want to pray for you. My wife wants to pray for you. My family wants to pray for you. Just turn those prayer cards in later today to me personally. Hand them to me. I want to pray for you. I know everyone's struggling here with one thing or another. It could be pride. It could be just situations in life. I want to pray for you. God's praying for you. God's promised you something great. Just make it to heaven. And you've got it there. Be faithful. Our Father in heaven, thank you, Lord. We praise you today. We pray for these who raise the hand. We know that some are really going through some deep waters and struggle and wondering why, God, you gave them this situation to begin with. It's like, why me, Lord? Because God trusted you with a trial, that's why. Because he knows that with the Holy Spirit in you, that he and you can take it and manage it and conquer it. One day he wants to give you a crown in heaven. We pray, Lord, this crown might come. We pray in Jesus' name.